Regarding that study, even though I didn't put that material together, I can't take credit for it, but I certainly enjoyed studying and presenting it. And of course, there were two lessons that we just didn't get to. This third quarter, which begins, of course, today, on Sunday morning, we're going to be studying it concerning the overview of the Bible. Initially, I had thought, well, maybe we could study the theme of the Bible. But I settled on looking at an overview of the Bible, because I think that would be really profitable to us. Either one of those will be good. But we're going to actually be talking about both of those. But the majority of this class is going to be spent in an overview of the Bible. I hope to spend the next 10 minutes or so just kind of breaking the class in and just laying down what we're going to be talking about and just easing into it. And then next week, after you get your book toward the second half of the class, next week we'll begin to study from our handouts and our material. If we don't see the worth or the value of a particular class that we're sitting in, we're probably not going to get much out of it, are we? Why should we be concerned about studying an overview of the Bible? Let me ask you this. How many has studied from that perspective, not just hit, miss, or so forth, but really just an overall view of how the Bible's put together and what each book of the Bible is all about? I find it hard to believe no one has done that.
That's something you don't spend a whole lot of time doing, or I don't. A lot of times it's subject matter I'm studying or something that I'm looking into. Mm-hmm.
Each writer would add something to God's character that others would not, so you get a full perspective of who God is throughout history.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Bible, it goes without saying, is a big book. And it's going to be a challenge, really, to do an overview of the Bible in basically 12 weeks, 13 if you count today. But we're going to make it through that. It's not going to be a verse-by-verse or a chapter-by-chapter study. What I want to do is to spend this time to think about the overall theme of the Bible. And then next week, we'll really start looking at the overall view of the Bible. When I was studying getting this material together, one of the first things that I noticed is you really can't talk about an overall view of the Bible without talking about the theme of the Bible. And you can't talk really about the theme of the Bible without acknowledging, at least in part, as to how the Bible's put together. And keeping things in its proper perspective. And so this class is really going to be about how the Bible is put together in the order that it is, who wrote the particular books of the Bible, so far as we know, some of them, we just don't know who wrote them, but what the purpose of that book was, what period of time did it cover, and what was the condition of the people during the time that person, whoever it may have been, wrote that particular book. That's always been fascinating to me, and I, for a long time, wanted to be able to look at the Kings, for example. And the Bible will describe a particular king as he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, right? Or a king was a good king. Well, what made them an evil king versus a good king? And what was the condition of the people during the time that particular king reigned? Because that's going to shed a lot of light when we begin to look at the major and the minor prophets who did their work during those kings. And so if we know something about that king, something about the people, something about what was going on during that time, then we'll be in a better position, I believe, to look at the prophets and study from those things. There's a lot of different ways to approach a study like this. Again, the Bible is made up of how many books? 66 books. Some of them are large and some of them are quite small. Some of them are very difficult to really ascertain the meaning of every passage in it. I don't know the meaning of every passage in the Bible. I think you already know that. And I'm sure that we could all acknowledge the same thing. But let me ask you this question. Were the books of the Bible penned in chronological order? In other words, were they put together based upon the time that they were wrote?
No.
They weren't, right? But we start off with the book of the Bible. Genesis. Now, we look at that and we say, well, you know, that's pretty elementary, but so here is Genesis, which, by the way, we'll look at all this later on. It means beginnings. It's a book about beginnings. And it begins where? It goes all the way back to creation, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, then you have the book of Exodus. And what comes after Exodus? Leviticus, and then Numbers. And those books are pretty well in the order in which they are recording events. Now, they weren't penned at the same time that those events took place, but they were penned years later. But those books are pretty well in order. Who knows where the Old Testament Bible chronology stops? And while you're thinking that, let me tell you why I ask you that question. Many times we think that the Bible begins with Genesis and it ends with what? Malachi, right? And we have it in our mind from time to time because of the way that the Bible is arranged, that we begin at creation and then, you know, if that was just for the sake of conversation, 4000 B.C., and then we get all the way to Malachi, which the Old Testament period ends in roughly what year? 400 B.C., right? 400 years before our Lord's birth. And so we get in our minds that from Genesis to Malachi, that all those events are in order. That you go from 4,000 to 3,000, and you see what, then you end up at 400. But that's not the case. They're arranged in the Bible based upon what? Not the year, but they're arranged based upon the type of book, right? Just like the New Testament is arranged, not based on the in order of the events in which they record, but they are arranged based upon what type of book it is. And I'll let it make sense as we go through our quarter. But I want to point this out to you, and we're going to make reference to this later on, that as far as Old Testament chronology or time ends, it ends with the book of Esther. How many of us knew that? Esther's pretty early on in the Old Testament, right? Before you get to the wisdom literature. But the events of Esther are pretty well at 400 B.C., even though it's pretty near, it's not even at the middle of our Old Testament. I point that out to you to say this, that when you get to the book of Esther, everything after that was penned at some particular time within Genesis to Esther. All the prophets did their work during the time of when? The kings, right? Son, you had the judges, you had the kings. And the book will begin by saying that the word of the Lord came to so-and-so during the reign of... Well, that was almost at the end of the Old Testament. So, but yet they say that they did their work during the times of those kings. And so Old Testament chronology ends with the book of Esther, but the events of all those other books came during the time of the kings or the judges. And there may be a couple of exceptions to that. Malachi, and of course, that was at the end of the Old Testament for a reason.
Not each event that leads up to Christ, which is seen from beginning in Genesis on the prophecy there concerning Him and Satan, would have to be revealed in order. In other words, you couldn't get one event that was to take place before the other. And eventually it would lead to Christ coming into the world, which again is the New Testament. All those prophecies concerning what He was going to be was in chronological order revealed.
Paul, in one of his writings, said in the fullness of time, when things were right and God saw fit and those events took place.
Yeah, God didn't reveal all those. When that was revealed, certain events had to take place before the next prophecy took place. The prophecies down through history would have come in order. And so when you talk about the prophets, really Christ, those certain things had to take place before Paul could make the statement that Christ came to the world.
That's right. This course is going to be very basic. When you get this material, I don't want it to be the end of your study. I want you to take that and add to it. I put plenty of room in there for your own notes. So you study it and you add to it and you work it over however you want to work over. I just put together some things that I've been interested in trying to piece together and some things that I had fun, being quite honest with you, had fun putting it together. In order to understand the theme of the Bible, we've got to start at the beginning. We can't go to the book of Revelation and understand the theme of the Bible. Many times we obey the gospel of Christ and we want to start where? The book of Daniel or Zechariah maybe or Revelation. But if we're going to think about the theme of the Bible, we need to go back to the beginning. God created man without sin. They had the ability to choose. They were free moral agents from the beginning. He created them with the ability to be able to reason, to comprehend, to communicate, and the list just goes on and on. They didn't have to try to figure it out as they went. And I've pointed that out, I know, in the pulpit before, but when God created man, and you read that, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and Genesis chapter 2, it's like a genealogy of man. The Bible says that God planted a garden and He put the man there, right? And God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Now, watch that. Those words, help me. Sometimes we look at that and think that just kind of belongs together as though it's just kind of one word. But he's saying, I will make him a help that is appropriate. That's what the King James Version word meet means. Remember, John would say, bring forth therefore works that are meet for repentance. This means appropriate. And so God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a help that is appropriate, suitable for him, compatible for him. And through divine anesthetic, right? He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he took a rib, right? Not a bone from the foot that he might walk all over top of her, whatever the case may be, but from her side. Now, I don't know the significance of that, but that's what the Scriptures say. They took it from her side, from the rib. And he formed the woman. And he brought the woman to Adam, and what did he say? God had gave them commandments. Told them, you can eat of the things that are in the garden. You may freely eat of it, except... What was the exception? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? Was it an apple? No, I didn't say that. Don't know what it was. But we know that it looked pleasant to the eyes. The Bible says that when Eve looked at it, it was placed to the eyes. It was desired to make one wise, and she partook of it, and she gave it to her husband. He ate of it, and the eyes of both of them were open. They realized that they were naked. And in a futile attempt to clothe themselves, they sewed together fig leaves. And then when they heard the voice of the Lord, what did they do? Hid themselves. Who told thee that thou wast naked? I like the sermon title. Who told thee that? Who told you that you were naked? As a result of what they did, God drove them from the garden. He told them, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Did they die physically? Not that day, but it passed upon them, right? It would come upon them. But they died that day spiritually as they were separated from God. From the very beginning, we see the compassionate God, the merciful God, who, although Adam and Eve did that, God had a plan. And the plan that God had was not retroactive. He didn't say, well, now what am I going to do? He already knew before that what he was going to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 tell us that. That God's plan was in his mind from eternity. But that begins, the golden thread that runs throughout the Bible, is God's plan to redeem man to himself. Man, through his sin, had separated himself from God. And God wants to bring man back into a relationship with him, back into fellowship with him. That's what the Bible is all about. And we could spend the rest of our class talking about that. There's a lot more that we'll say about that. But I say that because we don't want to lose sight of really what the Bible is about. Every time we read these events in the Old Testament, it tells us about God. It tells us about the one to come. It tells us about the God that we serve. It tells us about what God expects from man. And God has given law, right? We don't live under the same law that they live under. But we still learn a lot of things. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says what? Yeah, that's right. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians that those things are our examples. Right? They serve as examples to us. That's the overall arching theme of the Bible. That first messianic prophecy that's found in Genesis chapter 3 and then verse 15. When God told the devil, what did he say? I will put enmity between thee and her seed. Right? You shall bruise his. You'll bruise your head, you'll bruise his heel. Satan was not going to be victorious over the one to come. Jesus, by the way, was born seed of a woman, right? And so that word seed, that phrase, is important for us to understand. I want to point out a couple more references to you, and I want us to move on to some of the material that we're going to be looking at. If you don't have underscored in your Bible, Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, I'd suggest you either do that or make a note, write it on paper, however it is that you remind yourself of these things. This is one of those verses that really just tell again what the theme, not the overview, but the theme of the Bible is. Jacob, before his death, begin with verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Now watch verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We've got to understand that verse, and we've got to understand what the Old Testament is about, or we'll never fully understand what the purpose of Jesus was coming. Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. Remember in the book of Revelation? John saw this book and it was sealed up and John began to weep. Why did he weep?
Nobody could open it.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 4 was the throne scene. Chapter 5 was the book. And then one said to John, weep not. Why? The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed and he'll open the book. So we've got to understand that all of this has to do with the Savior, with the Messiah. All through the Old Testament, I think when we study it, there were some classes that were conducted on the prophecies of the Lord in the Old Testament. Over 300. Probably, I don't know how many there are. One estimate I looked at was over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that were told about the coming of Jesus. So that's the overall theme of the Bible. But I want it, and there's a lot more we'll say about that as our quarter goes, but I want us to begin to think about an overview of the Bible. Take your Bibles. Everybody has their Bible, right? And open it up to the book of Hezekiah. Let's do that pretty quickly because we're going to run out of time. There's some pages. Found it yet? Tell you a Martin. Some of you, other ones not turning in your Bible. Must have that book memorized. Who was Hezekiah in the Bible? He was a king, right? There's no book of Hezekiah. But it sounds like it would be an Old Testament book, right? Now listen, I'm not laughing at you because I'm more laughing at myself because I did the same thing when someone did that to me. I was flipping and flipping and flipping. I just couldn't get there. I was getting frustrated. I was getting embarrassed. And then he finally said, that's not a book of the Bible. My point is we need to know the Bible, right? But it sounds like it could be a book, but it's not. So let's think about the overall view of the Bible. How many of you have seen the 15 periods of Bible history? There's a lot of variations. I don't know if Bob Waldron came up with these or he just used them. I don't know. But these are really good. We should have plenty. Let's start them on this side. And some on this side you can take those. Try to challenge yourself to memorize those. At least be familiar with them because it's going to help you in your study of the Bible. And that way, if someone's talking about, well, let's think about the judges. Well, obviously, where are you going to turn in your Bible? The judges, right? If someone's talking about, well, they're in the wilderness and the wilderness wanderings, where might you turn? Maybe Exodus, the Elements, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so we need to at least be familiar with those. And you can take any of this stuff that I give you, you can take it and you can rework it to however it works best for you. You may already in your Bible have a Bible map that is better than this one. But I wanted to copy one and give it to you so you could kind of pull it out and use it with our material. The only problem is it slanted sideways. And so if you want, you're welcome to it. And if you have one that's better, then you don't have to take that lecture. You can just put in the bag. But we need to know about the place that these events took place, relatively small area. But we read about Egypt, and we read about Babylon, and we read about Canaan, Palestine, and all these other places. It's nice to be able to pull that out and to look at it. We've only got about 10 minutes. I want to spend the rest of the time kind of going over this our material and just kind of getting familiar with that. We think about an overview of the Bible. What was the book of Habakkuk about? What was the book of Amos about, and Obadiah and Malachi and Isaiah? And who were these people? So, listen, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. We preach that. We study the Scriptures from that perspective. And so, surely we want to spend time familiarizing ourselves with what the Bible is all about and what these books are. I'll admit to you, readily admit to you, that I cannot memorize, and I have tried to do it, to commit to memory what every, at least a summary of every book of the Bible in my mind, a sentence or two. And I think I do okay with Genesis, you know, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, we'll look at that. And maybe with Esther, need more? Maybe with the books of history, and maybe with the wisdom literature. But then things kind of fall apart with the minor prophets. We may even do good with Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, but then when we get into those minor prophets, Amos, Obadiah, Joel, and the rest of them, at least with me anyway, I find myself having to go back and, well, what was that book about? Well, that's why I really enjoy putting this together, because I wanted in my own words to put together a summary that I thought would help me, and I thought if it would help me, maybe it would help others, and you rework this however you want. If you look at it and you... And whoever did not get one, if you tell me who it was, I'll make sure that you get one. And you can work it however you want to, however you think that it will help it stick in your mind. We've only got basically 12 weeks to try to get through 66 books of the Bible. And so we're not going to look at, well, what does this verse mean? What does this chapter mean? But we are going to look at, what is this book about? I put six, and don't forget, at the very front of your book, please do this, because inevitably we find them laying around and we don't know who they belong to. Not that not anyone's going to take them, but that way if you put your notes in it, you'll be able to have it. This book belongs to, and put your John Henry there. But the beginning, if you open it up to the Old Testament, I put a Old Testament timeline that I like pretty good. I liked it for a couple of reasons, because it had approximate dates. It had the Bible history, and then it also gave you kind of what was going on in other world history at the time that the Bible events were taking place. I'm not big on dates because they're just so uncertain. There's no way that you can pinpoint many things to a particular date. But some of them give us something to work off of anyway. And we'll look at it as far as like when the Ten Commandment Law was given, the approximate date that the children of Israel and Judah went into captivity and when Judah returned. And we'll look at those. Time goes pretty quick. But you'll be able to look at your charts, and we'll look at that more as we go through. It's got a chart of the tabernacle, the judges. Don't worry about page numbers. It was just the way it was in the material that I had. But I like the judges and the prophets of Israel because it gives you the map, like the color map I gave you. But it tells you where these particular judges did their work in. And that's helpful when you read about them. And then the kings and the prophets. I'll give you some very good things that I ran across a few years back on ways that you can put symbols in the margin of your Bible. If you're interested in it, you don't have to use it if you don't. But that way you can look at it real quick and know some things just by just glancing at it. And you'll know about five or six details from that. Every book of the Bible is laid out the same way in your book. I can't take credit for that. My brother's very good at that. And I asked him if he could design a page, and he went to work at it, and this is what he came up with, and I like it. We're going to look at the approximate date, the same six things on every book of the Bible. The approximate date, who penned the book, if we know who penned the book. A key verse from that particular book of the Bible. And then in the box that is next to that, I divided that into two sections, because I wanted to list the key characters of that book and the key events of that book. We're not going to list, there's no way you can list every event that took place in, for example, in the book of Genesis in that square. And then a summary of the book. That's where the rubber meets the road. What was that book about? What took place? What can we learn from that particular book? And we're going to go through the entire Bible, Lord willing, in 12 weeks and look at those things. And so obviously we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on each book. But we'll take the Bible in sections and cover it that way. And you'll notice when you open your book that the notes are to your right. I wasn't going to print it that way, but a right-handed person suggested that I do that. And so I took her advice on that, because I'm left-handed. That just... one of the best set up for me, but figure that work for that way you can turn over write your notes. But I think it's going to be a great quarter, a very interesting quarter as we look at every book of the Bible and what they were about and how those books fit in with the overall theme of the Bible, that God was going to redeem man to himself through one to come. Any questions about what we've talked about? Next week we'll start, Lord willing, with the book of Genesis. I appreciate your good attention.